It was the night before the surgery, and Dominic knew that he was supposed to be getting some sleep, but he just couldn't. And honestly, he didn't want to. He didn't want to sleep. His mind was just was filled with thoughts and worries and concerns. I mean, he had just a few days, just the day before, had received his diagnosis of a glioblastoma, a cancer that was eating away at his brain. And the surgery that was going to try to cut out some sections of that that hopefully would allow him to undergo chemotherapy and radiation to elongate his life. But he was aware that there were risks to the surgery as well, that there may be memory loss. And that was the one that really struck his heart that night. The house was quiet. His girlfriend Grace was asleep in bed. His one-year-old son Avery next to him. And so Dominic, by the light of a nightlight on the wall, just sat on the other side of the room, just sat and watched them sleep. What if he woke up the next day after the surgery and he couldn't remember them? So he wanted to soak in every moment he had. There are questions, you know? Like, what if I can't remember them? What if things go poorly, or what if I die? This is a woman that I love deeply, and I've been afraid of making a commitment to her, and I haven't wanted to say to her yet, till death do we part. Why should I believe that she would reciprocate that now if I can't remember her? Would I see my son with his, would I see him turn two? But as dark and as troubling as those thoughts were, he cherished them as he sat in the dark, soaking up every moment. Other conversations of the last 24 hours were kind of going through his head. You know how you have those conversations and you kind of relive them in your mind several times? He was doing that. He was thinking of the conversations with his father, a man he tried to avoid in the last few years, because ever since his father had found God about 3-4 years back and started going to church and started wearing a tie and started praying and started reading his Bible, and he met a woman at church and he remarried and built this whole new happy life, he really didn't like to talk to him too much, because he could sort of feel, though his dad had never said it, he could kind of feel his father's disappointment that he was still living with his girlfriend. He could feel it. And so he didn't like to have those conversations, but he was remembering that phone call from the day before as his father was saying he was praying for him and he was on his way to be there at the surgery, and how he had shown so much support and so much peace in the middle of this incredibly hard news. He thought of the conversation with his sister Lucy. He and Lucy were so close. They'd been through everything together. When his parents broke up, when Dominic and Lucy's parents broke up about 18 years ago, and they were fighting like children and squawking back and forth, it was he and Lucy that kept each other sane. So they were really tight. And so it really troubled Dominic that as he was telling Lucy about this surgery and his thoughts about it, when she asked him if he was scared, and if he was scared to die. And he said, yes. And then Lucy went and asked him if he had ever gotten right with God. And he's thinking, Lucy, what are you talking about? Are you scared that I might go to hell? You know, Dominic's favorite band was AC/DC. His favorite song was Highway to Hell. He used to crank down the windows on the car and drive with it as loud as he could and sing it at the top of his lungs. It was like his anthem. And now, when he's actually, for the first time in his life, thinking about that and thinking that that could be him, that could actually be him, it was very sobering. very unnerving, and he didn't know what to do. And so at 1:58 a.m. on April 10th, 2010, Dominic began his first honest search for God. Opens up the laptop on the dining room table, gets onto the internet, goes to Google and types in, "Finding God," enter. And amazing, 40 million results came up, you know, as a search results, and he's thinking, this could take a while, and I don't have time here, I got to get to it quick, and he's going through some, clicking through some of the things, and a couple of the first clicks are like, they're Baptist, and I don't know, even know what Baptist means, and the other ones are Catholic, and I don't know what Catholic means, and there's other ones that they don't even say who they're with, which is even more unnerving, because he doesn't even know what, you know, whose team stuff he's talking to, and some of them sound a little bit like his dad, you know, the guy that, in the way that he's experienced his father's life, and his father's life change, and he's okay. I don't know, is that Baptist? I don't know, maybe a little bit. And other ones, other sites, you know, like the Wikipedia site, sound a little bit like what he'd heard from his mom. How 18 years ago, when his mother left the family and left her father and moved to New York and started a yoga school and came out of the closet and is living with her girlfriend, and she attributed all of that to God. I just looked. She said, and Dominic could hear it in her mind. I just looked for the God spirit in me. And I listened to it. And it gave me strength to have the courage to do the things that I was scared to do, things that would truly make me happy and truly make me fulfilled. And so I bravely left my family and went out on my own. I bravely lived out who I really was. And see, Dominic had always been kind of attracted to that kind of spirituality because it seems that the God that his mother was serving was the God that just sort of, you know, helped her do whatever she already wanted to do. Which, I mean, that's kind of cool because, you know, this God doesn't really have any rules other than please yourself. Now, there's a moral code I can live by, he's thinking. I like that idea. Only problem is he's thinking about his mom. I mean, his mom hasn't even returned his phone call. And she's sad all the time. And which is kind of ironic because, you know, the slogan for her yoga school is, you know, find your bliss. It's kind of weird. And so as Dominic is going through the different search results, he kind of adds up the things he knows about God up to this point. Number one, he knows that his father is given his heart to God or something, and that it changed his life, and it's changed how he lives and what he does. But he does seem happy. Number two, he thought of his sister Lucy and how she was kind of asking these questions now for the first time, and now that she actually was concerned about, you know, what would happen to him after he died. And he thought of his mom. And the God that she followed that just basically said, do whatever you like. But it didn't seem to make her happy. And he sat in front of the computer screen going, I don't know. I mean, how do you know God? How do you know if God's there? How do you know what God's like if he's there? How do you know? I mean, if somebody asked you that question, how would you know? How would you answer? How do I know God? How do I know what God is like? Hard one. Well, Jesus answered the question of what's God like in a rather unusual way. He's actually one of the only, or few at least, religious leaders in history that have answered in any way like this. We've been talking the last few weeks about Jesus who, and how one of the most important questions we can ask in our life is, who is Jesus? Our answer, our personal answer to that question, who is Jesus, will shape us in how we live, especially in those times when life is really pressed, especially when we, as each of us will one day, be in a situation like Dominic's, where we become completely aware of our own mortality, and that life doesn't last forever. Hopefully for all of us, it'll be a long time from now, but we all know that that's not how life works. And our response in that moment, whenever that moment is, sooner or later, our response in that moment will be largely determined by our answer to the question, who is Jesus? And here's why. Because Jesus is the one person in history that claims to be resurrected from the dead. Not just resuscitated, resurrected. Jesus said it, the Bible says it, the church affirms it, and if you look at history, there's an awful lot of evidence. And if Jesus rose from the dead, totally dead to totally alive, if Jesus rose from the dead, he is absolutely unique in human history. No other person, no other religious leader has done this, claimed this, lived this out. As we look at the disciples and the people that followed Jesus in the early church, these are people that gave their lives rather than deny what they saw. So whatever it is that they encountered in that moment changed them forever. Because, see, if Jesus rose again from the dead, we can't just put him in the, you know, here's the choose your own adventure religious menu. I'd like a little Brahma, I'd like a little Buddha, I'd like a little Joseph Smith, I'd like some good advice from a lot of good people, and I'm going to add it up to make it do and make religion do what I want it to do. We're not able to do that because Jesus isn't on the same menu. He's not in the same category. Because all these other leaders, as good as they've been, they're dead. That's a problem. Jesus is in the category of not dead. That makes him very different, don't you think? So we've been talking about how that question leads to other questions. That's how the dominoes start to fall one by one, and the claims that Jesus has made, like the one we looked at last week, how Jesus claimed he was the only way to God. Or this week, as Jesus answers the question, how can you know God? He answers it in a very unique way. He says, you want to know God? Look at me. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 14. It's the main passage that we've been exploring in this series. So we're starting in verse 6, and it's right after Thomas has asked Jesus a question. He says, you know, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And then Jesus answered. I wonder what the expression was on his face. Because the disciples ask all these weird questions. And, you know, like, and I just wonder what his expression was. He said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has what? Anyone who has seen me as? Right. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So if Jesus is alive, we need to take serious heed to what he said. And here, Jesus claims that he is God. Now, that's not normal dinner conversation, is it? If you met somebody on the street that claimed to be God, I hope you'd have some big questions to ask that person and of that person. And I hope you keep 911 on speed dial with that person, right? Or I guess, I don't know, you don't really speed dial 911, but you know what I mean, right? I hope you'd have your guard up because, see, good people don't say things like this. You know, they didn't crucify Jesus just because he healed a lot of people and said a lot of things that you put on Hallmark cards. If you have your Bibles, turn with me briefly to John chapter 10. And it's going to read verse 31. So Jesus has been saying some of this stuff, and some of the Jews around him, some of the religious leaders, they're getting a little bit unnerved. They're getting upset with him, and they pick up stones to stone him. And Jesus said to him, verse 32, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you stoning me? You know, are you trying to kill me because I fed 5,000 people? Are you trying to, you know, kill me because, you know, I healed a lame man? Are you trying to, you know, kill me because, you know, this guy that was sick is better again? Which one of these are you upset about? They're not upset about those, are they? You never get upset about that. But they said, we are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus said he's God. And now if that's true, and I believe it is, and I would ask you to wrestle with it, then there's at least a couple of things that come out of that, at least a couple of things that we need to kind of wrestle with today. Like, one, this is maybe the part, the feel-good part of it, the one that feels good is we go, how can I know what God is like? Well, Jesus says, if you want to know what God is like, look at me. We understand God through Jesus. Like Martin Luther said, we read the whole gospel or the whole Bible through the lens of the gospel. We understand how God is, God's personality, God's work in the world, God's work in history through the lens of Jesus. Like after this series, we're going to be doing, for the first, I've never actually preached through an Old Testament book, but we're going to be preaching through the book of Jonah. Should be kind of fun. But you know, when you, maybe you've experienced this, when you're reading through the Old Testament, and you're like, wow, that's weird. Wow, that's strange. I don't get that. It's hard to understand parts of it. And it's hard to make sense of how God is acting in those circumstances. Well, part of the reason for that is we only clearly see God through Jesus. And all of the Old Testament is filled with markers that point us, that are pointing us to Christ. And as we get to know Jesus and we look back over the scriptures, we see the personality of God at work, consistently at work. But we only clearly understand it through Jesus. We get to know a God who is passionate about people who are poor and hurting and oppressed. A God who extends mercy. And a God who kicks over tables and temples when human religion stands in the way between people and God. We meet a God that says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And a God who says, lay down your life. Better to lose your life for my sake. Or if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And whoever tries to save his own life, whoever lives by his own way, his own rules, they'll lose it. We meet a God who meets us personally. Now, if Jesus is God, there's one other thing we need to wrestle with, too, and that's this. If And this is the thing we're going to be talking about most next week. If Jesus is God, that means he has the authority to tell us what to do. He has the authority to provide instruction for our life that we need to heed and listen to, or at least we ignore it at our own peril. And so we need to wrestle with, if I'm a believer, has anything changed? If I'm a believer, if I'm a follower of Christ, has anything changed in my life as a result of that? If I'm a believer, does that change how I handle money? If I'm a believer, does that change how I handle relationships? If I'm a believer, does that change how I feel about the people around me and how I act in the circumstances around me? If I'm a believer, does God actually have authority to tell me what to do? And if Jesus is God, the answer is yes, he does. He has every right to tell you what to do. Now, that's a hard one to hear. But I need to ask you the question today, as we consider if Jesus is God, and if he's God, and he has authority in your life, is there something that the Holy Spirit has been prompting you to do, an area of life that you're aware of that is disobedient to God, where you've been maybe heading the other direction, or you've been trying to keep God at arm's length? Is there an area in your life that the Holy Spirit might be prompting you to consider today? Jesus, you have the authority to tinker with me. You have the authority to change me. You have the authority to tell me what to do because you're God. Is the Holy Spirit pressing on you in any particular area? Consider it. Do it. Because Jesus has the authority to tell you what to do. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning, and Grace wakes up from a dream where she imagines Dominic having had another seizure, like the same seizure that brought him into the hospital just a few days before. And she looks around the room and realizes he's nowhere nearby. She gets up and starts walking around the darkened house. And she sees him slumped over a laptop on the dining room table. He's fallen asleep. She taps him on the shoulder. Honey, are you okay? He kind of wakes up. Oh, yeah. And she can see the search result on the screen for how to find God. Honey, are you okay? She says. No, says Dominic, I'm not okay. All these years I thought I had all this time to make all these decisions. I thought I had my whole life ahead of me, and now that it seems like I might not, I'm worried. Grace, I'm worried, and I don't know. I'm sad, like, because, you know, I wanted to marry you, but I haven't. And now that there's no time. And, you know, I've been thinking about stuff, and I think I need God, and I don't know how to find him, and I don't know what to do. Grace, I don't know what to do, and I'm worried, and I'm scared. And Grace, who, of course, she was actually thinking a lot of the same things herself, she just kind of musters up a lot of bravery. And rather than admit that she's thinking some of the same things, she just puts her hand on his shoulder and says, honey, you're going to be okay. Well, the day begins, and they get stuff together and get ready to go to the hospital. He's supposed to be there at 7 o'clock to check in for pre-op. And by the time he gets there, his sister Lucy and his father are there in the room just outside. And as Dominic gets ready to go in, the nurse says, "You know, Mr. Wilson, it's time for you to head in." And he says, just 1 minute, please." And he goes up to his sister Lucy and says, "Lucy, I've just been thinking about what you've been saying. I've been thinking about it all night long, and I'm thinking that that's the story for next week."
Yeah. Let's pray together.
Jesus, as we consider your resurrection, we find ourselves having to consider your claims about yourself, that you're the only way to God. And even today, thinking about how your claim that you are God. Lord, as we wrestle with that here, that truth, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have its way. For those that are here and they need a comforting touch to know what God is like and how God feels about them, God, would you draw near and remind them that you are the God who has walked with us, the God that has put on human flesh, the God who understands our pain, who understands heartache and disappointment and rejection and gets it, and the God who draws near to us in our times and places of suffering. Lord, we also ask that you would have your way as we consider what it means that you are the God that has authority in our life, that has the right to tell us what to do. And Lord, as your Spirit, as it presses on our hearts and asks us to consider areas in our life where we've kept you at arm's length, where we might have been disobedient, where we might have tried to ignore you because we don't like the consequences of believing that God is actually in our lives and with us. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your strength and your peace. And we ask, God, that you would help us as we seek to follow you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.